welcome to another edition of Pit Lane. You're on the 405 with Chad and Joel. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Tired but sore, but other than that, I'm doing pretty good. You?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. So you're sore?
Yeah. Yeah, the working out. You know, it's fun, but it's not easy on the older you get. But
yeah, I'd work out if I needed to.
Right. Right. Well, you ready for Thanksgiving, all the turkey fixings and all that good stuff?
Yeah. Everything in moderation. I think that's the key, right? That's what they say, anyway.
You say that every time. It's good intentions, but once you get to there and you get to the plate, it's like you just keep piling it on, and you pile it on.
Well, yeah. Well, and you know, it's not always what you eat on Thanksgiving Day, but, man, it's the leftovers.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. You know, you just... turkey soup, you know, turkey this, turkey that, but you know, I love turkey anyway. It's a good thing I like turkey, but
right. And that's about a lot of times, like a lot of parties when you go to get together, you overcook a lot. You think, well, I don't know if that's going to be enough, so you always cook way too much. It's better than not having enough, but it seems like you always one extreme or the other. It's hard. You hardly ever get that just right amount of food. It's either not enough or way too much.
And you know, you bring up a great point. You know, we are here in America, and you know, we talk about being thankful for things. We've got so much food. You know, we throw so much, I mean, you know, as a country away every day, we could probably feed a third world country for a week or two. And so, but, yep, we do have a lot to be thankful for. And so, let me be the first one to say, and I know I speak for you as well, but we just want to wish everybody a very safe and a happy Thanksgiving. You know, love on your families and spend some good quality time with everybody. And be safe on the roads if you're traveling. What was it they said tonight on the news? I believe 49 million people are going to be on the roads. Since this will air on Saturday, we hope that you had a nice Thanksgiving. So
half of the people on the road will be in the stores tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah, for our listeners' sake, we are taping and we're recording this, and you can tell I'm old school taping. We're recording this on a Wednesday evening, Turkey Day Eve. So, it'll be interesting. You know, I think at least most of the country is going to have fairly decent weather. You know, normally this time of year, you know, here in the Midwest, in the Indiana, we'll have some snow or at least some cold weather and whatnot, and it's been pretty mellow. And that's, man, talk about something to be thankful for, man. My gas bill every year, you know, I'm thankful for anything over 40 degrees.
Yeah, it could be a lot worse. I mean, that's for sure. There's no doubt about it. But just wish everybody that before we sign off for the final time this year. It's we have reached the end. A wild racing season, nonetheless. We've seen a lot of different things. Some upsets, some surprises, some letdowns, I think. But that's the way we like it, I guess. But I guess we got to say, Joel, before we got to dive into it and say we got to congratulate our seventh-time champ, Jimmy Johnson. We witnessed history Sunday evening. Sunday evening.
And you know, we talked as he kind of started his five in a row siege. You know, we talked about witnessing history all through that whole ordeal. And I say ordeal because for a lot of Jimmy Johnson folks, I mean, you know, I don't want to call them haters, but for a lot of folks who don't like Jimmy Johnson, that was a true ordeal. But, you know, we were talking then about a dynasty in racing. I mean, you know, when you look at dynasties, you know, you think of the Boston Celtics or you think of New York Yankees, you know, or the Packers, you know, but very, very, very seldom do you have such a dynasty in racing simply because there are so many more variables that can happen, you know, mechanically. But what a situation. And, you know, when we were our last show, you know, I just had this gut feeling like he was going to do it. I mean, you know, he kind of, I don't want to say he came out of nowhere, but, you know, when Harvick didn't make it, I thought, man, this is going to set up for a Jimmy Johnson kind of a situation. And you know, I you have to bleed for Carl Edwards. I mean, you just do. That was so sad to see that happen. But you know, it is racing, and you know, Carl, class act. You know, class act that he is, handled himself very well.
It did, and you know, we're talking about, you know, kind of go back to Johnson's seventh thing. You know, a thing got to remember too is, you know, we've talked a lot. It's a lot of, you know, hoopla on you know, social media about, you know, comparing him to, you know, Earnhardt and, you know, Petty for the seventh win. But you know, I'll just come out and say, you know, Johnson's got better competition than Petty ever did. Now let's just face the facts here. There's, you know, he's got tougher competition, and as far as number of talent out there that right. He had a race every week. Then you've got the fact that all these chases, you know, Petty never had a chase format, you know. Johnson's had these chase formats. He's had all these rule changes. He's had car changes, all kinds of things thrown at him that could just, you know, really eliminate you, you know, easily from that. And he still wins seven. You know, he won five in a row. You know, you got to be doing something right to, you know, to get to that point. So,
well, and you know what you said as far as parity. I mean, there are so many teams, you know, that could have won this year.
Right.
And so there's a lot to be said for that. Those are all good points.
I mean, I was banking on, you know, be honest with you, I had my money on Goat Joe Gibbs. I mean, they had four drivers in there, and their season, the way it was going, and you know, everybody was trying to play catch up to them, and you know, just that's the way the chase it kind of goes that way, and knocks them out, you know, but. Yeah, you got to hand it to, you know, to that team. That's just incredible. I mean, it is a dynasty, and you know, who knows? I mean, could he get eight? You know, who knows? We remember back in the day, we thought, is he going to actually get three in a row? You know, you know, well, yeah, he did that and then some. So, you know, the thing that, you know, I do kind of want to, you know, I want to throw out there. It just kind of, you know, again, I think. Again, it's like, to me, it was almost an instant replay of last year's finale. Exactly almost what played out when you had Kyle Larson winning the race, leading the race, would have probably won the race. I don't think anybody could have caught him with, what, I think, like 15 laps to go at the most. I believe Dylan Lupton, that's his name, the number 32 car, I think it is, scrapes the wall. Again, no debris. He's driving down, making speed, going to pit lane. They call the yellow, which I have, you know me, I voiced my opinion on that. There's no reason for that yellow. There's no cars around. There's no safety issues, no debris. So, honestly, that big wreck should have never happened. They should have just ran the race under green. Edwards would have won your championship because he was P2, and that would have, Larson would have got his second win at Homestead, which he should have got last year, but they got shafted again. It's like that stuff is just, it grinds me to the core because I hate seeing that. It's, you know, I want to call it a manufactured outcome, but I'm not taking away Jimmy's chances. I'm not taking away his championship or anything like that, but I'm just saying it just goes to show you that they really need to just let him race unless there's some kind of safety issues out there, debris. You just don't be throwing random yellows like that.
Right.
You know, just let him race. It's called racing for a reason, you know?
Right. Right.
That's the only negative I want to throw out there because it just reminds me so much of last year. It's the same situation. It almost cost Busch a championship last year, and it did cost Kyle Larson the race win.
And I was with you. I didn't quite see the need for the yellow at that particular point. You know, looking, I mean, that was a pretty strange beginning to the race anyway. You know, they had you know, the three cars. Johnson was actually taken out twice. And then he, you know, for rules infractions and for more NASCAR inspection. And then he wound up starting 40th.
Yeah, he had unapproved body changes. You know, he looked like he was kind of out at the beginning.
You know, I never did really get a nice close-up of what that looked like or what they did. Did you?
No, not really.
I mean, I know the general area, but I didn't really see exactly what that was. But all in all, I mean, you know, he only led three laps. Larson led 132. Harvick led 79, you know. That was Carl. Carl led 47. So, but, you know, again, it was a perfect storm kind of a situation.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at all the adversity, you know, in that whole situation, and, you know, I mean, from the beginning to the end of the race, you think, how in the world? And so when they stopped, you know, when they red flagged it, and I'm sitting there and I'm looking at Johnson up at the head of the pack, I'm thinking,
Here
we go, you know.
I'm sure everybody's thinking, oh, crap, you know, because it just, you know, nobody really knew what kind of car he had, you know, at this point in time, you know, because he hadn't really led anything at that time. So it's like, what's he got under the, you know, what's he got? But
I think most people, including Jimmy Johnson, probably would tell you that he didn't have the best car on the track, you know.
Right. To me, what I saw, and I think probably, you know, other than Larson, I think, you know, Carl Edwards probably had the second best car.
Yes.
Carl was coming on strong. He got around Logano, and so it was, you know, it was close. You know, Logano could easily won that championship too. I mean, it was just there's a lot of scenarios that come into play there towards late in the race. So it was definitely interesting. But wow, yeah, that was a big crash. I mean, just, and thank God nobody was really hurt. I mean, because, you know, all Truex had his car was toast. I mean, you know, it was literally burning, you know, so luckily he wasn't, seriously hurt.
That was scary. That was pretty hairy there from that.
Yeah, I knew that was, when they went down into that yellow, I thought, this is not going to come out right. This is going to be ugly. Because, I mean, he started, but you know what, then, and any driver in that situation, he would have done it. They had to block. I mean, they're going for the championship.
No question.
I mean, this is it. There's no time left. They can't think, well, I got next week, because there is no next week. This is it. So, but like you said, we alluded to earlier, the sportsmanship and classic car letters come. You walk toward Logano and say, hey, it was all me. Sorry. Go get this. And that's just Carl. I mean, you know, then you think the NASCAR official or whatever for the safety guys are walking with him to the healthcare building there, which is pretty interesting.
Well, so. and he and Logano kind of have a checkered past, not to be funny, you know, anyway. And you know, for him to, because I thought, man, he's going up there, you know, and when he got up there, I thought, you know, this is going to be pretty interesting. But it's one of those kind of I'm just being honest. I don't know that I could have done that. I mean, in the heat of the moment and everything on the line like that, I don't know that I could have gone over there and said what he said. So, you know, he definitely should get the in Indiana we have the what's known as the Trestor Award for the best sportsmanship in basketball in the state finals. He should have definitely got the Trestor Award for the last race in NASCAR.
Yeah, I think most drivers would have probably just walked right back to the hauler and not even done an interview or anything like that. And it would have been over, you know. And so you got it. Yeah, you definitely got to give him for that. It was just a heartbreaker all to, you know, from the get go. But man, it was a wild one to the end. There's no doubt about that. You just, you know, you hate seeing those big wrecks, with all them, you know, damaged cars.
Yeah.
And everything like that, but and that thing it was also Smoke's last. Well, who knows? We may see him again. Like, he might pop up and drive something, but you know, I don't know. The more I think about that, you know, I thought, yeah, he'll be back again sometime. But I really don't know. I mean, you know, I'm more line saying he's not going to, you know, maybe do a one off somewhere. I don't think he will, but I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm. I think everybody would like to see him, you know, south of Mason Dixon line, go back to Daytona and north of the Mason Dixon line, come back to the Brickyard. But he might get himself so involved, you know, racing and Eldora, you know, I mean,
he's going back to the dirt, so that's one thing he's looking forward to. And you know, not only was this his last ride, it was don't forget, this is also which has shocked everybody, and that's Brian Scott, his last race. He was definitely kind of overshadowed from everything, but we want to, you know, wish him the best when, you know, it's all his endeavors, what he's got future. And you know, we may see him come back. He's young, and everybody seems to like him, so you know, we may see him in another year or two. Who knows?
Yeah, Brian Scott finished 15th.
That's a good finish. You know, I mean, it was, you know, for, you know, late, for what, you know, the luck he's been having lately, that's a pretty good finish for him. You know, getting a top 15 there, finish out the season on a somewhat decent note, I guess.
Well, kudos to Jimmy Johnson for not only winning the race but also winning the championship. Kyle Larson in the Target Chevrolet came in second. Kevin Harvick, man, a lot of people picked him. Yeah, really, you know, I mean, he was your pole sitter, came in third. Joey Logano came in fourth. And look at Jamie McMurray, man. He was up there in the top five. Kyle Busch finished sixth. Matt Kenseth finished seventh. A.J. Allmendinger had a great race.
That's a good run for him, for A.J., yep.
Yep. Finished eighth. Denny Hamlin finished ninth. Michael McDowell had a great race.
Yeah, that right there is really big right there. That's good. You know, that's the guy we mentioned before that, you know, over the years of his career, he just – you know, I don't think he was ever really given a fair shot, because if he would have had a, you know, if he had Gibbs equipment or Hendrick equipment from the get go, yeah, he probably had a few wins under his belt, because he's one, you know, especially on those road courses. I mean, he's one of the best wheelmen out there on those.
Well, you know what I think about Michael, when I think about Michael McDowell, I think that you know, he has taken his time. He's matured very, I don't want to say slowly, but methodically. And you know, he's improved in his positions on the track almost every race. He's been consistent. So, and I like that rather than a flash in a pan where you finish fifth and then you don't finish the next two or three races.
Right.
Chase Elliott finished 11th. Austin Dillon finished 12th. Kurt Busch finished 13th. Paul Menard finished 14th. As we mentioned, Brian Scott finished 15th. Alex Bowman in the 88 finished 16th. Greg Biffle, 17th. Casey Mears, 18th. Danica finished 19th. Trevor Bayne, 20th. Landon Castle, 21st. Tony Stewart, 22nd.
And of course, the big wreck caused a lot of your bigger names to have a worse race than, you know, because, you know, all those guys, you know, Brad Kay, Carl Edwards, Kane, the Truex, they all would have been in the, you know, top 10 and 15. So, you know, that was a unfortunate incident there that, you know, put a bad finish on the end of end of the year. So,
well, Chad, you know, one of the things I like to look at are the manufacturers' wins and looking at their points. Toyota came out the big winner this year. They had 16 wins. Chevy was second with 12, and Ford had 8. I always find that fascinating. You know,
I think that's why everybody thinking, you know, that Gibbs was kind of like their championship to lose for how, you know, how their season was going. So,
right. The pole, the Coors Light Pole Award for the season. Carl Edwards finished with 6 poles. That's pretty incredible.
Wow.
And look at Martin Truex Jr. He had 5.
I knew he had a bunch.
Yeah, and then Joey Logano finished the season with 3 poles. Kyle and Kurt both had 2. Chase Elliott had 2, as well as Austin Dillon. Jimmy Johnson only had 1. And, you know, when you look at some of these multi-pole winners in the past season, you know, there's Jimmy Johnson with 1. Matt Kenseth was with 1. Denny Hamlin with 1. Brad Kay with 1. You know, and then, you know, then you, and there's Alex Bowman. Bowman's got a pole, you know. So, Chase Elliott winds up being your Sunoco Rookie of the Year, followed by Ryan Blaney, Chris Buescher, Brian Scott, and Jeffrey Earnhardt. Wouldn't that have been something if Brian Scott could have won Rookie of the Year this year?
Yeah, that would have been interesting for sure. That would have been cool. I wouldn't mind it at all to have seen that, you know.
Yeah.
I definitely could have handled that. But, yeah, that was really cool, and seeing Alex Bowman on the pole that race, that was pretty darn cool, actually. Was that Martinsville, was it?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
I think it might have been Martinsville. Phoenix, I think. Phoenix.
Well, we only have 94 days, 18 hours, 2 minutes to go before beginning of the next NASCAR race.
Countdown clock to. But, you know, like we always say, I think what we have to look for every year is the Rolex 24 in January. That kind of kicks off racing season to me, because that, just, you only got a couple weeks, and then you're into the speed weeks, and then everything kind of gets rolling in February for the Daytona. But there is some changes going on, and I think the biggest thing we're seeing now is coming out of the Roush camp.
Robbie Reiser.
Yeah. Well, you got Biffle leaving, and you got Zest that's pulling out. So things are looking kind of shaky over there, Roush Fenway. So let's hope for the best there. Whether they form an alliance with another team, we'll see what happens there. But that's probably the biggest the news there. And also Chris Buescher will go to the second JTG Daughtry team, which is AJ Allmendinger's team. He will be going there to form the second car there, which is kind of interesting there. I thought it was kind of an interesting move, to be honest with you, but we'll see what happens there. Those are probably the biggest move, obviously, and then, of course, we'll see Alex Bowman in a full year. Wish that kid the best. I think he's already turned a few heads already, what little time he's had in the car. But I think he's really going to impress some people next year. I look forward to a lot of good coming from him.
Yep. And also, Dale Jr. is going to get in the car and do some testing. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes.
That's got to feel good for him as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And, you know, one of the did you hear about the Homestead TV ratings? There was a 25% dip over last year's ratings.
Wow.
Which is kind of weird. But I still like the fact that they did show the race on NBC, not NBCSN. I really think they need to do more and more of that, and we've talked about that a lot. But
I think that helps, and get more continuity in where you're going to show it. You don't vary so much, But, it's bad enough when they had, like the first season was Fox, then you had TNT, then you had ESPN, at least you knew what channel was going to be on.
They also started the first half of the season with Fox, and then they went to, whoever. Let me ask you this. Who do you think had the most laps led this year? Any guess?
I'm not looking at that. I should cheat on you here a little bit. I'm going to say it's either Harvick or Bush.
Well, you're very close. Martin Truex led for 1,804, and then Harvick was almost 500 laps lower, 1,384. That's amazing to me.
Yeah, that's a lot of big. That's a big difference between
one. That is a huge difference. Yeah,
that's a whole race.
And then Kyle Busch was third, and he led 1,379 laps. And then
that's always neat to see these stats. They got stats on everything.
I love it. Yeah. Then when you look at right below Kyle, Matt Kenseth at 947. Jimmy Johnson, your champion, led 734. So that's that's what we've been talking about. This is not a typical Jimmy Johnson kind of a year,
It was pretty, pretty status quo there for a while before the chase really got going. We're thinking, man, this is kind of, he's having some bad luck, kind of getting some bad finishes and things, and hitting the wall, just having some mechanical issues and things. It was like, I don't know, just don't think it's going to be his year. But then they say, like we always say too, you can't ever count him out. The minute you do that, You're going to get caught out there
going to get burned. Well, exactly. And there's another thing that we need to address too, and that is Chad Knaus now has 7 career Sprint Cup championships, and he's second only to Hall of Famer Dale Inman, and he had 8 cup titles as crew chief. Here's Knaus.
He could easily surpass that, Even when Jimmy retires, Knaus is still going to be around, and there's going to be some talent in that camp to come up, and who knows where he'll go. So he could very well easily, surpass that for sure.
Well, and another amazing thing to me, in Knaus's 15-year career, he and Johnson won 7 titles. I mean, that's just – when you stop to think about the odds of that, man, it's like flying in the
moon, career.
Like flapping your arms,
Right, I mean, that's half your career.
Stuff. Yeah, yep. Jimmy Johnson at 41 is also the youngest driver to ever win 7 Sprint Cup championships. and you can just go on and on. So,
right.
But anyway, glad – glad in one way. I mean, I always miss racing during the winter time, but you know me, I'm not the only one. Thankfully, I thought it was me that just there for a minute, but you get on Facebook, you find out there are other racing folks that like to watch the old YouTube and watch some of that. I'll pull up an IndyCar race or something,
And kind of get something. That's the way to go back and look, you know.
Yep, get my fix that way.
See who because this was Sprint's last year for series.
That's right.
They'll be announcing who they're picking up pretty soon. Also, before we do, we don't also want to forget that Daniel Suarez was the Xfinity champion this year. Very cool. Again, a Gibbs car, no surprise. And then Johnny Sauter won the Camping World Truck Series Championship. So we want to make sure to give a shout out to those two for winning their series of rights as well. So, and that was another good finish there too. The Xfinity race there. I mean, it looked
wasn't that fun? That was awesome.
You had Elliott's crew chief down there begging that Cole Witt's team, let us have the inside, let us have the inside, let us have, or no, they wanted the outside, let us have the outside, let us have the outside, and they wouldn't give it to him. And if they would have gave what he wanted, I think Elliott probably would have been your champ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That one lower inside just could not get going in that race, and they just spun, Cole spun the tires, and of course that was it. It was over, and Suarez got he did what he had to do. He had a great restart. That's what you got to do. So nothing, again, not taking anything from Suarez, but it's like, it's kind of sad. It's kind of funny seeing his, crew chief down there, pleading to give him that lane they wanted.
Yeah.
And what did they have to lose? They weren't going to win the race. They should have done it. I mean, if it was my team, I said, I'd take the lane, but that's how I would have done it. But
yeah. Well, it's been a lot of fun. I know on the IndyCar side of it, for those who watch Dancing with the Stars, Hinch did not win, and that's I don't know. Did you ever watch that?
I don't watch that shows. No, I'm sorry. I mean, I don't.
I don't either, and I didn't.
I don't get all those singing and dancing shows myself, but. I'm more of a cursive Oak Island Hunting Hitler type of a guy on the
Hunting Hitler.
it's interesting stuff. I mean, it's
Well, and they're still working on Verizon IndyCar Series. Still working on the 2018 Universal Aero kit. Supposed to have that done hopefully by the end of this year. So we've only got another month and a half or so. That's going to be interesting. To kind of check that out, if you look on racer.com, I got a little preview there. You're just kind of looking at some of it, but that'll be fun to check that out. So I'm like you, man. I'm waiting for January. Kind of anxious for that, and also looking forward to the 2 weeks in June when SVRA and the sports cars come back to IMS. That's going to be fun. That'll be something about all winter, man.
Well, plenty of time to get there. If you can't get there one day, well, don't worry. You've got plenty of other days to get down there, to see it.
Yeah, that's right.
Like it's a two-day thing or one-day thing. You've got 2 weeks to get down there to at least see something,
Yep.
And even if the cars ain't on the track, they're still there in the garages to go around and look at. So.
Well, almost as much fun as watching the cars on the track is seeing, number one, the cars. Let's say it's Parnell Jones, old Calhoun number 98, sitting there in the sunlight, and you can take all kinds of great pictures. And then all of a sudden, Parnell walks by. You can even talk to him. You can chat, maybe chat with him a little bit, get a picture. Good stuff. So we're looking forward to talking with our friend Tony Perella, keeping up with Amy Schumann and all the guys there at Breathless Racing next year. Junior and his dad should be a lot of fun.
That's going to be interesting there for sure.
Yep. In the meantime, check us out on our Facebook page, Pit Lane Racing Hub. Let us know that you're keeping warm this winter. And in the meantime, Chad.
Until next year, keep it on the track.